turn with me in your scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We will look at verses 6 and 7 is really what I want to focus on this morning. As you are turning there, what I would like to share with you a little bit is, one, thank you for giving me the opportunity and Shelley to go on a honeymoon. And we had a great time being gone 2 Sundays. Thank you for allowing us to do that. And the when we were there, so here we're at Port Canaveral and we're boarding the ship. The first thing we decided to do was we decided we're going to leave our cell phones in the car. We're not going to take them on the boat with us. We're going to leave them in the car. That's exactly what we're going to do. And so that's what we did. Well, for those of you who've ever been on a cruise before, once you get on the cruise, we went to our staterooms, and then we came back up to our muster station. Now, a muster is an interesting word, and it's a word that's used in shipping, and it's a fancy word that means assemble. It is your assembly area. They use that in the military, muster? I have no idea. Anyhow, the only time I ever hear the word muster is when I go on cruises. Be that as it may, we are there. We are in our muster section. Shelly and I, it is in the Sapphire Restaurant. Sapphire Restaurant had a huge atrium that went up, I believe, maybe 2 or 3 decks. And we're sitting not in the center of it in the atrium. We're right on the periphery of the, not of the room, but of the atrium. And then you would go on over to the side of the ship. So we were kind of in the center, but not really. But we're sitting there, and we're talking about what we're going to be doing. Not only the rest of the evening, but looking at everything else that's going on the ship. So we're sitting there talking, and then all of a sudden, our nature gets the better of us. Because I don't know if you're like this or not, but I tend to like to watch people's behavior. Just do. It's just something that I do. And so me and Shelly was sitting there holding hands, you know, that thing, and deciding what we're going to be doing. And all of a sudden, this couple comes by. As they begin to sit down, we're noticing their behavior. This couple sits at the very end or edge of the room, right at the very edge of it. She sits down. He sits not beside her. The husband doesn't. He sits, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet away. She pulls out her phone and starts doing this. And I looked at Shelly and I said, do you think they are happy? Do you think they are happy? And she said, no, not at all. But as we began to pivot around and look at what was going on, this is what we noticed. There were people who were angry, and there were people and families who were distracted. Distracted because of a lot of things, but primarily because of a cell phone. There's a couple, a family who had a little boy and a little girl. And the little boy was split an image of his daddy. His daddy was sitting there like this. And the little boy was beside him like this. Look, and you, no communication whatsoever was going on between. And as we looked, we began to talk about how great a decision it was for us to leave our cell phones behind. Because they began, even on their cell phones, we looked behind us. There's a whole family right here of children and parents. They were not talking to each other. They were looking down into the cell phone. And they're on vacation. They're on a 7-day cruise. So as I noticed that, the thing that stuck out to me and Shelly is that, you know, I believe that cell phones, this is not a sermon against cell phones, but I believe cell phones are a useful tool when used correctly. I believe that. I really do. However, how often are they used appropriately? How often are our cell phones, kids, parents, are they used appropriately? And that is a very, very good question. It's a very good question. Over a week, Shelly and I, neither one of us had our cell phones. This is what I learned. I can live without it. It is not my all in all. I can live without that cell phone for a week. It is not my all in all. I also realized that cell phones, they attempt to replace meaningful human interaction between people. But they are a secondary form of interaction. They can never replace face-to-face, hand-to-hand, arm-to-arm, voice-to-voice interaction between a husband and a wife, a husband and his children. Can never replace that face-to-face, hand-to-hand, voice-to-voice interaction. Cell phones just can't do that. They just can't. You know, and then as we were driving home, not only are we talking about this as this sermon's being developed as we're driving home, but then, of course, it wasn't the first thing that we did. It may have been until the next day we started looking at Facebook. You know, people put anything on Facebook these days. I mean, you know, it used to be the funny joke pastor, at least what John McBride has told me before, is that, you know, parishioners call you about a friend who's got an ingrown toenail to go to the hospital and visit them. You know, and you think that that's outlandish. Have you looked at Facebook lately? And noticed some of the things that people put on? If you haven't, try out Harrelson Transparency. People put everything out there. They do. Now, I'm not knocking the platform. But what I do know is this, is that as we were driving back, that people put anything on Facebook as we began to look at it. Let me ask you this about Facebook and about your interaction with your telephone. What is your first reaction when you have something going on in your life? What is the first instinct? What is your first instinct when you have something that's going on in your life and you need someone to talk to? What is your first instinct? What is your first reaction? What is it? You know, as I looked at, is it to go to Facebook? Is it to turn to Facebook, or is it to take it to the Lord in prayer? You know, as I watched on that cruise, I began to develop, and I would love to do a study of it to see and look at what the data proves to me scientifically. But I have a hypothesis that would be something that I would want to research. Here's my hypothesis. I believe that among Christians, that we are allowing our cell phone technology to replace meaningful communication with our families, and we are also allowing it to become an idol. It is replacing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because that is the first place we turn when something is going on in our life. We want to let the world know, but we don't want to let Jesus know. We want all our friends to pray for us, but the question that I beg is, have you taken it to the Lord in prayer? I wonder whether technology has truly become our God. That's what I believe. Or that's what I think. That's a question that I have. Is our technology becoming our God? And as I was thinking these things, Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25 says, Paul writing, therefore God saw them over in their lusts. He gave them over in their lust of their hearts to impurity. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. I just wonder how many of us treat that creature, that creation, that cell phone as though it is our Creator. I wonder. And as we begin to look at Father's Day, you know, the thing that I would tell you dads is this. A dad's responsibility is found here. not only to dads, but to moms. But today's Father's Day, so I'm going to talk to you dads. A dad's responsibility is found here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 is all that I am going to read. And they are simply this: "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, there are a few things I want to point out about this particular passage of Scripture. And it is a command that the Lord is giving here. It is not a suggestion. It is something that is an order given to those who profess Christ as Savior. It is something to be followed. It is not open for interpretation. It is something to be done, and to be done immediately. So this command is for today. It's not for tomorrow. Tomorrow will be today when it gets tomorrow. It's kind of weird, I know, but you know what I'm saying. At any rate, but on this day, the command is that these words shall be on your heart. Dads, these words shall be on your heart. Not only should they be on your heart, but you shall teach them. Shall teach them. Shall is in that word of, it's a word of command. It is not open to whether I will or not. It is I shall. If you look at the terminology of and the definition of will and shall, it's pretty interesting to do that. I can remember reading a biography about General Eisenhower a couple of weeks ago, 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion in Normandy. One of the things that President Eisenhower, later who became president, one of the things he was really irritable about is the usage of words from his generals. When they would put, "I will do something," he would always mark through "will" and write in "shall." Because there's a difference between telling someone, "I will do something," and telling them, "I shall do it." When you say, "I will do something," there's wiggle room whether you might or you might not. When you say, "I shall do something," there's no doubt that it's going to be done. So we take this and we look at these words. These words are important. These words shall be on your heart. You shall teach them to your children. And you shall talk of them. You shall. Well, when shall we talk about them? Daddy, when shall you talk about these words? Well, I'm glad you asked, because it's right here in the Word. You shall talk of them when? When you sit. When you sit in your home. When you walk by the way. When you lie down. And when you rise up. Now, I know this was written a very, very long time ago. And they didn't have cell phones back then. They just didn't. It would be important to note that I believe texting is probably a part of this, but I want to highlight the word "sit." I want to highlight the word "walk." I want to highlight the word "lie down." And I want to highlight the word "rise up." These terms, these words, describe a lifestyle that God wants us to live in front of our families, in front of our church families. It is one where we are walking with each other. It is one where we are sitting down with each other, where we're lying down, reclining, talking, maybe in a recliner, and just sharing life together and rising up. And one of the first things that Shelly and I did this morning when we woke up, I went in. Of course, I got up before she did, but that's neither here nor there. But I went in and said, "Good morning, baby. I love you." And we just started praying. One of the first things that we did, we just started praying this morning. But as I look at these, texting is not there. It's not in writing. Is it implied? I believe that it is. I do believe that it is implied there. It describes a Christian lifestyle of instruction through human interaction, through sitting, walking, lying, rising. And we can believe that texting and using our cell phone is a part of the process, but it is only a part. It should not be the primary way that we sit, that we walk, that we lie, and that we rise with our family. It should never be the cell phone. It should be through relationships daily. It should be where we're talking, specifically what the Scriptures are saying here. That is what I believe we should be doing. These words. So I know what you're asking. Hey, Mike, so you're describing a lifestyle of how we are to instruct. Yes, I am. Okay. Well, what are these words that was commanded? It's a good question because I've started somewhat in the middle of a chapter, and it starts with these words. This command are for today. Well, what are these words? Well, if you'll go back up and look at verse number 4, this is what these words are. Get verse number 4. These words, what does this mean? That phrase, these words. Verse number 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Then verse number 5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." That is what we should be sitting down and talking to our family about. That's what we should be walking, lying down, talking about, rising, talking about, is loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. That is the words that we should be talking. So, Daddy, when you're taking your son, honey, when you're teaching him how to play baseball, never forget that part of that process is teaching him about loving the Lord our God with all his heart, soul, and mind. When you're taking your daughters shopping, you should always be instructing her that she should be loving the Lord with all her heart, with all her soul, and with all her mind. When you're having that interaction as a family with your wife, you should do so in a manner that shows your children that they are to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. And it shouldn't be through a cell phone, primarily. It should be through the way that we live, the way that we walk, the way that we sit down and have family interactions. You know, in many ways, it's a thing of the past. Shelly and I sit down and eat on the boat. You would see some parents, the kids, they had children. They might be elsewhere on the boat. It's a thing of the past. Sitting down at the dinner table and collectively eating and fellowshipping as a family. I want to encourage you, these words, to train them, to lead them, to show them how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is what we've been instructed to do. Gentlemen, ladies, it is a lifestyle. Can we utilize a cell phone? Yeah, we can. But it's not the primary way. It never replaces that hand-to-hand, face-to-face, voice-to-voice interaction. As we come and we get the music ready and get a song, invitation just as I am, I want to ask this question in closing this morning. When something of significance occurs in your life, what is your first inclination? What do you do first? Do you take it to the Lord or do you take it to Facebook or to your cell phone? It's a legitimate question. My prayer today is simply this. My prayer and hope is that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And that these words, that you would teach these words to your family through a lifestyle of sitting, of walking, of lying down, of rising up, and by using your cell phone appropriately. That's my prayer for you this morning. And I encourage you to live that lifestyle. not only in front of your children, in front of your spouse, but also in front of others, so that they too may know whom you worship. That you worship a living God and not something that needs to be recharged on a day.